Good morning, family. It's so good to be here once again, preaching the Word of God to you in this wonderful, beautiful morning. Just a quick announcement from the elders. The elders decided that they are going to be sending all the ministers to Hawaii for 2 weeks. So whoever gets the most calls today, make those calls. Call Duane, call Scott, call Eric. Don't call me, but whoever gets the most calls gets to go to Hawaii. So, April Fools, right? It's April Fools. So, I'm just kidding. That's a good morning. Sometimes I have to do that so I can ease out into the lesson, right? Well, let's open our Bibles this morning. How about that? Today's lesson is going to be on God's plan for your family. God's plan for your family. God has a plan. He's always had a plan. He always knows what to say. He always knows what to do. And God has always prepared it way before he even started. I wish I had that type of personality. I'm more of a spontaneous guy. I'm more like, oh, I'm hungry. Let's go get some ice cream. But you know what? Let's go to Mobile for some ice cream. That's just kind of how I am. God, he planned it. He said, well, this place is going to be open. This place, you know, God has a plan for everything. And he has a plan for your family. Would you like to know what that plan is? Let's go ahead and get started with the lesson this morning. God's family. What does family mean to you? What is family? Is it a man, a father, a wife, a mother, kids, pets, cousins? What is family? Family comes from two words. Well, the first one is patria, which comes from paternal, comes from father, which means descendant, kindred, lineage. Now, also that word is the one that we use for patriotism. Isn't that interesting? So we're patriots because we're kind of from the same family. Well, Irish, Scottish, Saxon, German, all kinds of families, right? All united into one country, all united under one banner, and that's what makes it a patriot. That's what makes somebody a patriot. Well, in the family of God, it's kind of how it is. We're all one big family. From different backgrounds, we come from different units, but we are all one big family, right? Also, the word oikos, it means dwelling, home, household. Also, it could mean temple. So those two words describe in the ancient times what a family was, or the description of a family. But what is family to us? How would you describe it? In two or three words, how would you describe what family is to you? I'm sure that right now you're looking at the family around. It's like, what is it? What is that? Well, family is something more important than just a group of people gathering together. Family is everything. God calls us, his church, he calls us his family. He calls us his lineage. He calls us his inheritance. He calls us that we are his. Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, if you don't mind, go to verse 17 with me, please. If you don't mind reading, whether it be from your phones or from, I'm not going to put it on the screen. I'm going to read it this morning. We're all going to read together. Verse 17, this is what it says. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the all fullness of God. What is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of family? What is the purpose of the church? Family is church. Church is family. That's why we call each other brothers and sisters. That's why we are all part of this God's family. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts, that makes us family. When you love Christ with all your heart and all your mind, that's what makes us family. When you love God with all your heart and all your mind and all your strength, that's what makes us family. That devotion that we have to our Father, that's what makes us family. That is the purpose of why the church exists. That is the purpose of why families exist. See, in our family, each individual family unit that we have here in the congregation, this is the purpose of it. Bringing Christ into the hearts of everyone that is under your roof. Bringing Christ into the hearts and the minds of everyone that is under your household. In the case of a church, anyone that steps foot into this congregation, guess what? They need to see Christ. And our purpose here of preaching is to bring you Christ into your hearts. How are we going to do that? We're going to do it through faith. Faith is the most important element in bringing Christ into your heart. Faith that believes, that trusts, that obeys is the most important ingredient in bringing Christ into a household. The man, the woman, the father, the mother, the husband, the wife, they need to show that Christ is in your hearts. Another component very important for family and for families to grow is that we need to be rooted. Rooted in what? Rooted in love. Rooted in love. We have to have a ground. We have to be basically going deep, going down into the roots of love. Do you know what makes us a good family? Do you know what makes a family a good family? This is the key right here. It's love. It's love. It's kindness. It's the kind of love that we know as agape. But also, it's the kind of love that we know as phileo. That we like being around each other. Not only because I have to. I don't love you because I have to. I love you because I like you. That's great, isn't it? I love you because I know I like your presence. I love you because I like being around you. I like doing everything with you. And just together, part of the family. That's what God intended for family to be. That our families need to be full of love, full of mercy, full of compassion, full of forgiveness, full of kindness. It is very difficult to be part of a family when all that we find, is judgments. When all that we find is mistakes. When all that we find is tattletales. Does that make sense? Think about it. Think about your family, how you grew up. I was the tattletale of my family. I was the one telling my mom and my dad what my brother was doing because he was bigger than me and he was always making fun of me. So I was always the one telling mom and dad, Justo is talking to this girl and he's not supposed to until he's 40. So just let you know. You know, that kind of thing. So, and other times, even with my sisters, you know, like if there was a boy coming around the house and I will tell my dad, hey, dad, that guy, I saw him smoking. I was lying, of course. Why? Because I didn't like him. And so I was a tattletale. But, you know, my brother beat it out of me and I stopped being a tattletale. But a lot of times, you know, you have family members that are the spoiled ones, right? You have the ones that, oh, he gets away with everything. Or she gets away with everything. Or he is the one that receives everything. I didn't get a chance to drive until I was 18. He's driving at 16. Or I didn't get to go to a friend's house until I was 20. And he's going to his friend's house when he's 14. The spoiled one, right? And so also within a family, you're going to have the one that is the responsible one. The one that is trying to be mom and dad when mom and dad are not there. And those are the ones that have the hardest job. I tell you what, usually it's the oldest. I'm not the oldest, but they surely have a hard time. All kinds of things in a family, all kinds of roles. But love is what unites us. Love is what brings us together. If we want our family to be according to God's plan, we need lots and lots and lots of love. We need forgiveness. There is no reason to be yelling to each other in a household. There is no reason to try to find fault on each other, in each other, in a household. It's the same thing in a church. There is no reason why we need to be, there shouldn't be any disrespect towards each other in the church. There is no reason why we should be talking bad about each other in a church. Because God's intent for the church, God's intent for the family is the same. We need to love each other. We need to be kind to each other. We need to be merciful to each other. We need to be forgiving to each other. That's God's intent. That's God's plan for our families and for His church. And He calls us family. He calls us church for that reason. And the only way that we can do that is, the only way that we can love that way is if we are in Christ. Is if we belong to Christ. If we love the way Christ loved us. That's the way to do it. We're not going to be perfect. I know that. And we can correct ourselves anytime we make a mistake. When you are not loving the way Christ would love us, correct it. Correct it right now. If you find yourself yelling at your children, correct it right now. I'm not saying everybody has different parenting styles. But if the only way that you can communicate is through yelling, I think we're doing something wrong. Because I did that for a long time. I'm doing something wrong. If the only thing I can communicate for somebody to do something is through yelling, we're doing something wrong. Can you imagine if all I did to you from the pulpit is yell at you, do this, do that, love, have faith. How many of us really would like to do that? How many of us really would take action to do that if all I did from here was yell at you from the pulpit? That's not what motivates people. That's not what takes action. You know what does? Love. The love of Christ. The love that Christ has shown us. That's what motivates people. That's what motivates us to keep going ahead. That's what motivates us to go into all the world. How are we going to do this? Look at verse 18. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Some versions say together. May have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. That's how we do it. Together. Together. That is a common trend going on right now. And you hear this a lot from a lot of people, a lot of doctors. We need to get through this virus together. We need to get through this situation together. That's right. That's exactly right. We need each other. We need each other that you love me enough to keep your distance, right? For right now. For right now. You love me enough to keep 6 feet away from me. You love me enough, you can do that, right? We can do that. I love you enough and I cannot wait to give you a hug. I cannot wait to see each other. Once again, can you imagine how grandeur will be? Think about it for a second. Once all of this is over, once all of this, we're able to interact with each other, singing won't be the same, would it? Preaching won't be the same, would it? Seeing each other wouldn't be the same, would it? Can't wait for that. And that's the intent that God had for His church, that anytime we see each other, our spirits just unite, our spirits just connect. Have you ever just gotten that one big hug that is just, it seems to relieve all your stress? Have you ever gotten that hug that just, there are no words, it's just a hug. And just relieves everything from the world. Can't wait for that, can we? But that's what love does. Love unites us. Love brings us together. And it is together that we are going to endure. It is together as a family that we're going to get into heaven. It is as a church family that we need all of us that we will get into heaven together. You know, people say that this virus is very contagious. Just by saliva, just by touching of hands. It can live in an atmosphere, depending on which area, for 3 hours to 72 hours to 2 days. But you know what else is more powerful than that, that can endure forever and ever? Love. Love. Love is more contagious than anything in this world. That's what we need to be spreading. Kindness is more contagious than this virus. Mercy is more contagious than this virus. God's love, kindness, and mercy is more contagious than anything in this world. Together is how we are going to do it. And so, just to finish up this morning, let's read verse 20. Now to God, to our Father, the only one who is able to do exceedingly abundantly. If you don't think you can love, let me tell you something. God can help you. God can show you how you need to love. If you don't think you don't know how to tell your wife, your spouse, that you love her, how to tell your kids every day that you love them, God can help you with that. God is trying to teach us to do that. And not only will you be able to do it, but you'll be able to do it better than anyone around you. You'll be able to love beyond what we ask or think according to the power that works within us. You see? Within us. Tonight, we're going to study God's will for my life. And this verse will remind us of that. The power that is at work within us. When you think that you can't do something, a godly thing, when you think that you're not capable or able to perform according to God's standards, I want you to remember this. You can. According to the power that is at work within you. God's Holy Spirit will enable you, will empower you to do whatever you think God has put in your heart. He can. And then he says, to him, oh, to Christ Jesus, to our Lord, to our Savior, to the one that makes it all possible, to the one that he's our friend, he's my friend. He's the one I talk to every night, every day, every morning. He's the one I long for to see every day. That's what family is. When, you know, when you're at work, you're thinking, I wonder what my kids are doing today. I wonder what my son is doing today. I wonder if he's doing his homework. I wonder if my daughter is behaving. I wonder what my other daughter is doing at work. I wonder what my wife is fixing right now. She's always doing something. You know, you think about your family and you have those fond memories. And then when I think about the church, it's the same. I wonder how this family is doing. They're going through something. I wonder if a word of encouragement will uplift them, will help them up, will help them out, will uplift their spirit, will remind them of God's kindness, will remind them of God's love. That's what family is, where we cannot be without each other because of him, because of Christ. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And that just fires me up. And I want to hear you say amen. And I know you are saying amen at home. Because this is how we're going to proclaim. This is how we're going to make sure that the church survives. This is how we're going to make sure that the gospel of Christ survives. This is how we're going to make sure that the world gets saved throughout all generations. And that is with the kindness, with the love, and the mercy of Christ. Not our love, not our kindness, but his. And the church will give glory forever and ever throughout all generations. That's how we pass the baton. That's how we pass the torch to the next generation. By God's love, God's kindness, and God's mercy. Let's be that. Let's be the type of people that wants to love God. Let's be the type of people that will show God's love and will share his love. That is God's will for your family. That you shine his love throughout everyone. I remember long time ago when I was little, I didn't like my family very much. I think everybody does at some point. That they don't like their family that much because you got in trouble or for whatever reason. There was one family around the neighborhood that they seemed to have everything. The kid was always happy. He always had the nicer toys. He was the first one in the neighborhood to get a bicycle. So that was a big deal. Everybody was just like, ooh and ah over it, you know? And I thought, I wish I could be part of that family. I wish I was that person. I didn't even know the father. I wish that I was his son, because I thought, he's got a bicycle and I want a bicycle. But when you spend a lot of time with them, and this poor kid, he hardly ever saw his father. Toys is what he got instead of a father. Things is what he got instead of a father. When I realized that, I realized I really don't envy him that much, because I am blessed that I have a father in God. I'm blessed that we have the best father in God. You are blessed. You are blessed. Don't try to compete. Don't try to give them things. Give them you. That's what families need in these times. Give them you. Don't waste time, everybody in the living room with their own phone. Don't waste time just watching movies all the time. Watch them every once in a while. But just be with your kids. Just hug them. Just snuggle them. I don't care how old they are. They can be 20, 30. Snuggle them. We all need that human contact. The same thing is in the church, in this church. We all need human contact. And I can't wait when we can come back again. This invitation is for you. This invitation is for you to realize that God's love will change your heart. And it is God's love that will change your family if you don't like the direction that it's going. It is God's love that will change you. And it is God's love that will sustain us throughout all generations. Let's practice that this week. God bless you.